Welcome to today's webcast. This is PJ in the Lucy Goldman studio in Los Angeles, California. Well, you know, more news, more conflict, more confusion, more hatred, more interest in the self, and never in a community of ethics where any community can get better. One is subject to think all the time about survival. What is it going to be like in order for me to survive in a world that appears to be going nuts and crazy? With Twitter accounts, Facebook, tweaks, Twitter, twangs, or whatever you want to do, we buy into them with our credit cards. We get on these websites in order to have a conversation with other people. When having a conversation with the people around us seems to be the easiest thing to do. How many times have I told you all in private discussions that I've had like this to seek out those that are more like you than less like you? And when you find that individual that is more like you, as opposed to one being less like you, you can get along better. It's like building a community of ethics within a community that you know you're going to get along with. Now then, what we as human beings have a tendency to do, even in this fine country of ours, we seem to build up these walls around what we like and who we like and how we like it. And then we characterize others that differ from us in a very objective way as strange, odd, oddly living. Look at them. I was looking at the black comedian that gave his true opinion of this Caitlyn Jenner situation. Huxley, I think his name was. And Hughley, yes, that was his name. And I was watching it. He was on The View. And he was telling them that he's not against transgendered persons in any way. And really, you can't be. If a person really has deep down in his heart what they want to be, that is who they are. I just had a conversation with a young man, and I was telling him that I had a dear friend of mine coming by. As a matter of fact, my radio producer, Mark Ramsey, is coming by. And so I told the young man that was in my home, I said, this is a lifelong friend, and I want you to be on your best behavior. And he said, why did you tell me that? And I told the young man, because if you are not, I will know about it, and I will take charge of that situation. And I tell everyone that I meet that I've always been that kind of a person that means what I say and say what I mean. It's like when I was pastor in the church and I tell somebody about doctrine and they would say to me, how do I know that you know what you're talking about? Well, I'm going to share something with you. In Psalm chapter 15, verse 1, it's a very interesting verse of scripture because it speaks let me give it to you this way. If you look at the 15th Psalm, just take a look at it. I have fans on here in the office. That's what you hear in the background. So let me turn that off. But if you really take a look at it, if you really take a look at that Psalm, the 15th Psalm, it communicates something that I think is interesting, and I'd like to share it with you as I do this webcast, especially as my radio producer is on the way over here. And I'd like to save a few minutes of this for him, find out how he's doing since we haven't been meeting in the studio. All right. Here we say, this is a Psalm of David, and he says, oh, Lord, who is able to stand up in your presence, basically? Who's able to come into heaven and be with you? You know, we always have those kinds of discussions in the African-American community. As a matter of fact, the African-American community has this overall belief that regardless of what we do and everything else like that, that we are all going to heaven. Why? Because our ancestors were slaves, because of the black, what do they call it? Exploitation, black, I mean, how we've been just, well, yeah, all that. But I'm saying this, we have a responsibility to God. Who will be able to stand in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? This is what the psalmist is asking. Who's going to be the ones dwelling with God? I'm looking at me very close. I was telling some people, I said, if it's one thing that I want you to know, I said, I have set up in my mind, and that's the way my mind works, my life works. I heard about this tragic murder, this black man who killed seven or eight members of his family, and even one of them, his own son, and then the other children from the other man that the woman had. And he said that he was seeing his children turn into monsters. My God, man, the gradual turn? No. It has been a quick lightning flash turn on the hinges. The only reason that I haven't ended up like that is because I have a God that sustains. He asked me a question. Who's going to dwell on my holy hill? And then in verse 2 it says, he who walks with integrity and with righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. And verse 2 is what I want to zero in on. I don't want to zero in on verse 1 because verse 1 says, who may abide? In other words, how many has a hope of acceptance of coming into God's presence as a true worshiper? I'm just looking at this thing and giving it the only definition that it could ride upon, because if it rode on anything else, it would be false. Also, he's asking the question, who's going to participate in God's favor and enjoying full communion with him in the future? That's what he's talking about. Who are the ones, he's saying, that'll be involved in this unique friendship with God? Who are the ones? That's what you have to do. Who shall dwell with thee in heaven? That's what it's all about. Now, we now ask that of ourselves, don't we? Don't we? Because that is the grand question of human life. And for this reason, you have all these different religions and things like that floating around. People have a tendency to want to have their own religion, when in essence they're riding on empty. Because you know what you can have, I can have. Let me make this very personal. I can have as a frame of reference a God that loves me, and I know that I'm doing everything against what God is saying. Now, I have a choice. I can come against a person's life because I differ with that life, or I can seek to understand that life and retain the purpose of who I am as a person, the life that I am now experiencing. But let's come on down to verse 2, because I want to get on down there, because it asks a very important question. It's a comprehensive answer in the form of action verbs. Now, listen, the psalmist is writing this, and when you look at verse 2, and that's the only verse that I'm going to dwell on, that's what I'm going to put this webcast on. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Now, we see something here. Walking, working, and speaking. Now, these are verbs. Walking, working, speaking. In the context in which the verse speaks, God is marvelous when he speaks like this to us, because we see all of these action verbs taking place at walking, working, and speaking. It appears to be an easy thing to do. Because when you think about someone walking, that's a habit or a course of life. In other words, he's saying, listen, God is saying, you want to get next to me? I'm looking at the way your course of life has gone, is going, will go. And that determines the right thing for you to do. And so, in this verse, he starts off, it denotes something about what I'd like to call integrity. All of those things speaks about integrity, how a person is moving from one stage to the next, walking, working. How does that person work? Do they believe in work? And if they don't believe in work, what can make them come to the point of believing in work? That's some of the conversations that I have with a lot of youngsters, especially whose parents have never worked, a whole parental age group that's come up on the dole, the system, waiting on that check to come in at the end of the month. Did you know that there are literally hundreds and thousands of people that's living month by month, white, black, Hispanics, everything, living off of the dole of the government feeding them? And the more people coming into this country and the less that work and the more that will depend upon the government feeding them, it eventually cripples the economy. Cripples everything. What I try to do is bring before the young men that I meet, if, you know, we like to have nice little barbecues over here on the weekend, and I have the grill and everything, and I said, oh, fine, all well and dandy and everything, but what are you bringing towards the barbecue? I mean, if we're going to do that, how are we going to do that? You know? And so that's what we're confronted with today. That integrity. What is your habit of life? He who walks, what is the habit of life? Because that gives you the right determination for the right thing to do. All right. Verse 2 denotes integrity and uprightness. Now, as difficult as these terms may appear to be to some young people, if you're really thinking, if you believe in this idea of God, you know, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, Jesus, so to say. And I'm not talking about a white man with blue eyes and blonde hair and a halo over his head. I ain't talking about that. And I'm not, because I heard a young black woman on the World Wide Web try to tell all the black people, because of the stuff that's happening to us, young men being killed by cops and everything, that there is no Jesus. And she was saying, stop hollering out to the white Jesus. There ain't no, he never existed. He never was there. And this woman's talking about, we coming to get all you white people and kill them. Man, this young black woman was out of her mind. But you know what? Everybody that speaks like that is not only out of their mind, but they are out of contact with the God that created them. And that's okay. Because if you was in an Islamic country, they cut your head off if you were like that, if you didn't believe in Allah. See? And if you were following certain extremist groups over there. I'm not following the white man's Jesus. I'm not following the Jesus of this culture that I live in America. I'm just reading Psalms chapter 15, verse 2. And it says, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Man, look at this. Walking in a manner of integrity. Okay, working in a manner of what is right, or working towards what is right, and speaking only the truth that is found in your heart. Not someone else's truth. Nothing like that. Only God's truth. That's all we're supposed to be speaking. And that's what I love about these verses. So, verse 2 denotes integrity and uprightness. Okay? And you have to know that there is an enemy of your soul, and the enemy of your soul does not want you to live that way. You must understand that right up front. Does not want you to live that way. And the enemy's objective, and I'm not going to put one of these religious denotative things on there. There's up and down. There's white and black. There's good and bad. There's right and wrong. There's evil. There's integrity. There's justice and there is injustice. You know this. We live in a world of opposites, yin and yang. It's supposed to be. It brings balance to the universe. Even with whatever your religious faith may be, this yin and yang mentality is a part of that. There's always something working against what you're working towards. And the way to be intelligent is to keep, hey, you know what? When I think about that guy that killed his whole family, here yesterday or something like that, and he said because his children were evil, he couldn't contend with what his children were becoming. And so he brought it upon himself, as deranged as that was, to kill absolutely everybody in his family, and he put them all out of his misery and gave himself up. Man, I'm looking at a great article in this magazine that I have. It's called The Black Panther. My daughter gave it to me for my birthday. Intercommunal news service from the year 1967 to 1980. It was selected and edited by David Hilliard, the author of Huey, Spirit of the Panther. And you know, Huey Newton recently died. Now, I'm not an irrational escapist that's trying to escape everything about the America. I'm just saying that, man, when they start murdering us and killing us off like they're doing, and nobody cares and nobody's being prosecuted, y'all better wake up. Because if this thing is turning racial, like, wake up. And those of you that are not black and are listening to me say this, I'm not against you in any way, but I'm telling you, I don't trust anybody that won't tell me up front and overtly that they love me. And then I got to see that love demonstrated. I was here recently talking with a young man. He said, I came to this place because, see, I got this peace flag flying over my house. And that peace is going to be a part of my life for the rest of my life. Now, this peace derives from the peace that God has placed in my heart through knowing the Savior personally in my life, which is Jesus Christ. And I must say this, he ain't no white man with blue eyes and blonde hair. That's not the Christ that I'm in touch with. I'm into the spiritual Christ of the Bible, first century style, some 2,000 years ago. Study that. And I'm not talking about this polluted, perverted definition of all this. I look at the words of the Christ, and I analyze those words as I know that same Christ has embedded himself in my heart as a man who loves God, as a man who knows that his fellow human beings will kill him at the drop of a hat, will dispose of his life at anything. I know that it's very dangerous living in Los Angeles during these troubling times, and it's going to become more and more dangerous as we live. And it's only through God's grace that we're being held in check. Because if we didn't have that, we'd be totally out of it. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this article here. And it's called An Apology to the Soledad Brothers. Man. This is George Jackson, political prisoner, and John Cholate. You know what? I want to read up on these brothers. I want to read up on why they still got these young men. Man, in prison from the 60s and 70s all the way up to this day. Why are they keeping those black men in prison? Why is it dangerous for these men to get out? Because they're thinking independently and free of any kind of... And it doesn't... Listen. There's a lot of black men that think that way. But like I said at the beginning of this webcast, we don't all think alike in every area. That's a problem. Because we're not all supposed to think alike. And we got to stop putting other people down because we don't think alike. That's why I talked about that guy that was talking about Caitlin. And just because Caitlin or Bruce is having his issues, it doesn't mean that I have to agree with his issues or I even want to know about his issues. I don't even want to know about it. Does he have the freedom to do it? In this country, thank God he does. And I hope nobody hurts a man and harms him in any way because he wants to live out his dream. If that's living out his dream, fine. I'm living mine out, loving me some brothers. And so many people in the church has told me that it's a task that needs to end, John. I just had Mark Ramsey leave here. He spent about an hour with me. Came right after I started this webcast. I let him go back over some old work that we did. We had a great time. Mark loved me for who I am. I love him for who he is. He just happened to come by and see me doing what I've always been doing all of my adult life. I'll never stop doing it. I'm just doing it to a different group of people. I'm doing it to a group of people that have never been taught in the Christian realm, have never had that kind of discipline put on them. Every time I make a statement, I have to back up that statement with facts and give reasons for it and not just say do it because I said it. Because these human beings don't understand that. They have to know, why are you saying that? Because there's ramifications behind everything. Deep ramifications behind everything. See? Man, it's the hardest thing in the world to get these youngsters to understand that. But that will be more and more. That's a part of my gradually raising the level of the walking. All right, we're talking about that. Our nature has been affected by some evil around us. This isn't an excuse, it's rather a caution. Know this, that when you're on the job on a regular basis of walking, working, and speaking, that there's going to be something working against what you're trying to do, especially those of you that have a God consciousness in you. You know, I was asking the question, I think it was yesterday, if an all-out revolution came to this country, black against whites, I was saying to someone, I said, it would be impossible for an African-American that is truly a Christian on the sense of the first century, since it would be impossible for them to go around killing white people arbitrarily and without restraint. Totally impossible. and vice versa. It would be totally impossible for a true Christian that happens to be white, Anglo, if you will, to maim, to kill, to shoot any human being, I don't care what color they are, under any circumstance. The true believers call not. Now, that's called being of the world. Well, you know how they're hanging us. What are we going to do? I just recently saw on an interview that somebody put on a stream some pictures of black men that have been hung here in recent current history because the pictures were in color. Either that or they were colorized, but these men had been strung up. And it happened in the common era that we live in. Now, if I'm truly connected with God and love, listen, because you're not going to hear this anywhere else, and love humanity. Matter of fact, one of the young men said, well, what if it came to they were coming to kill you? I said, I'm going to try to protect myself. I don't want nobody coming at me, hacking me up. I watch a horror movie and I wince at that stuff happening to me. But at the same time, I'm obligated by God to love. Now, this black woman, when I watched this thing, was saying, there is no God, there is no Christ, and if you go around loving people, no, we need to kill them. It's us against them. That's what this young black woman in her 30s was saying. She was on some Facebook account saying that, and I finally found out who she was, and I followed the comments coming from all the black people that were commenting, and they were all in her side of the wagon. And I looked at these people and I said, so the church must be empty, because I got all these black folk now that I know and grew up in the church saying that I'll go out there. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you can go out there and commit mayhem, whether you black or white, if you can commit mayhem, killing other people without a conscience kicking in, telling you that they are your brothers and sisters in creation. They may not be educated on the level that you are. They may not have the money. They may not have the intelligence. They may not have the audacity to be decent. And I met a few in the past 5 or 6 years in my life that does not have the capacity to be decent. They don't know what that means. Now, whenever they come my way, guess what I have to be? Because I'm commanded to be by God. I am commanded to be decent. Let me turn off from this. I'm just going to flip to any New Testament scripture and see if the Bible is going to tell me to be decent. Oh, yeah, here it is right here. Let not many of us become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such you shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And then the writer gets into some archaic language. It says, now if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. In other words, when you put a bridle on a horse and he has a bit in his mouth and you pull him to the left, you mean for that horse to go to the left. And if he doesn't, you pull that bridle back tighter. See? Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by a strong wind, are still directed by a small rudder, whether the inclination of the pilot desires. In other words, the captain of the ship can make the ship go in any direction he wants by turning that little udder. Just turn the udder in a direction, and it's going to guide the direction of the propelling of that ship. That is the way it works. Then it says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. That's what I have to tell these young men all the time. Your tongue will get you killed, boy. You going around here talking about what you going to do because you looking at this dumb TV and looking at these dumb TV series. And I tell them, if you come in to listen to this pastor, if you come into judgment and your tongue brings you into judgment after you've heard that you need to be cautious, then you need to pay attention to somebody. Verse 6 of James chapter 3, since you wanted to know where I was reading from, says, the tongue is a fire and a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set amongst our members as that which defiles the entire body. See, the tongue will make you say some things that'll get you defiled, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. So this tells me that this little organ in my mouth that is shaping and forming, and so that the syllables of the English language will proceed from my communication, can get me killed. K-I-L-T, it's not a good word. K-I-L-L-E-D, deceased, whacked, dead. That's what the tongue can do. But now, for the person that knows God and loves God and knows that life ends, I heard that comedian Hughley say that the average life of a man in this country is 73 years old. Well, 72 or 7, yeah, 73 years old. Well, I'm 72. So I guess I need to be dead by February, since that's the average. And if I live over the average, no. You want to know what the average life is? Read the whole Psalm 15. Read it. It starts at verse 2. Let's go back to my text. Starts back at verse 2. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Now, when you read the other verses on your own, and I hope that you do, because these other things are added to this magnificent list. Don't tell me I don't know what God wants me to do. Read this and pay attention to it and stop playing with it. Oh, my friends, I got to tell you that we are hopeless in our vain attempts to sustain a balance of right living against the wrong without the presence of some kind of guidance within us. That's what the man is trying to say here. Verse 2 denotes works of righteousness. All of my life production is to be towards that which is right, not that which is wrong. I had a young man accuse me of befriending him for the wrong things. I said, oh, no, that's not what I do. I'm not going to use righteousness to, I said, I know who I'm talking to. I know your nature. I know who you are. You know me. See? So I know that. In other words, it's saying that the actions of my heart have become the desirability. I like that. Tantamount to keeping me in a stance of me being right with God. Even when it tells me how far I can go with you or how much freedom I can have. I can have no freedom with anyone to do anything that God will not allow. It just will not happen. It just will not happen. Okay, recognize this, that your life is one that produces things which glorify God as opposed to shaming him, or shaming and shamming and damning and giving the wrong kind of definition of who you should be. All that is in verse 2. All that is in verse 2. Are you walking with integrity? Are you working righteousness? And are you speaking truth in your heart? That's what that's all about. That is what the question is all about. Now, if you're not doing that, and I'm telling you, if you read the psalm, you can see something very interesting coming out of it. Because in this psalm, verses 1 through 5, you see in verses 2 through 4 a positive approach. And then in verses 3 through 5, you see the negative approach. So let's kind of like end this up by talking about the positive approach and the negative approach. Let's continue to read verse 3. Because we said 2 through 4 is where we get the positive approach. 2 and 4, that is. I'm sorry. 2 and 4. Let's read verses 2 and 4. He who walks with integrity, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. Look at verse 4. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. Now, let's get into this. In other words, when I see a person that is reprobate, I despise the reprobative behavior of that person. It doesn't mean to despise them and to hate them. See, that's what the church has done. The church has begun to hate people that are reprobate. No, I love the person because the Bible has never commanded me anywhere to hate or to despise anyone. And remember, this was written before Christianity came out. And when God put love in my heart, the God that came to my heart told me, you will love everybody that I send to you. Everybody, Lord? Everybody that I send to you. Well, Lord, you've sent the ones to me in the church, remember, have I not driven them away from you? They were not like you. They cannot accept God's love like that. See, people that I was in church with wanted me to be just like them. No, man, you know, I knew a guy, he claimed to be a pastor. He said every time he turned around, he had a different woman. I had the same woman for 34 years. Same woman. I can be having a, and these dudes had all these wives. All these wives. And in their messages, what are their messages? Always trying to contain it. Love your wife. I love Lucy. I didn't need to preach at no other time. When I asked God to let me marry her, he said, yeah, all right. Want you to have children from what I'm going to do in you. You need a wife. You need some children. Because what I got you speaking, you're going to need to have that straight. Now, what if I had me a girlfriend or a boyfriend on the side all them years that I was ministering? Don't you think that would have come out by now? Huh? Oh, no, somebody tried to blast that mess out, but that's a lie. No, that ain't never took place. Because God says that you have to have a positive approach to life. Verses 2 and 4. Walking, working, speaking. Despise what is irreprehensible, but those who honor those who fear the Lord. Honor those that fear the Lord. How could I stand in church? Wait, how could you honor a John MacArthur? He don't fear God. He doesn't even know when he ever met him. And that's what makes him such a pitiful person. He don't even know when he ever met Christ, the Christ, if he ever did. And see, a lot of people get involved in this religion for money and to build up their kingdom. Just the way that the music Mongols did it in the music ministry. They go to Ice-T and all these other guys, get them to make these filthy songs. Got all of our children enslaved to a bunch of filth. Oh, and I'm not talking about same sex, because you can marry whoever you want to in this country now. And it should have been like that. Because half these people married to these people that they married to only coming to find out that people never did love them and that it never did work. Why are they trying to hook up with somebody that's the less thing like them? Get with who you find somebody like you, who you know you're going to spend some time with. Jesus, I've never seen it so ridiculous in my life. And then for the person that's supposed to be Christian, supposed to know what love is, supposed to know that if a person, yeah, but they're not loving like me. I don't want to love like you. You married a 400-pound woman who's singing about Jesus all the time, and you just want to hear the classics. See, you in jail with someone else's mess. No, God doesn't push you into that. That's not the God that I love. So now if you find somebody in particular, wait a minute, that's somebody blowing a horn for somebody. Let me pause. Man, I know you guys love listening to me on these webcasts, don't you? Because things happen and you just never know when it's going to happen. That was the mother of one of the young men that I've been talking about. And I'm getting another phone call here, so you guys hold on a second. It never ends. Man, I'm telling you, I am having the most exciting summer vacation. That's another counselee on the way over to the Lucy Coleman studio office. It's good. I love it. And it keeps me alive, and it keeps me so happy. But I got a chance to speak with one of the young man's mother. She gave me an extensive background in the young man's life. She was telling me how pleased she was that I was helping her son. She came over to help him with a little cash and so that he could get the documents that would help him become employable. And she stopped and she said, you know, I want to thank you, because I asked her, why did the whole family give up on this boy? And she took me through the whole thing, everything. She didn't lie about nothing. The boy tried to interject once and I shut him down, and she said, thank you. He never shut down for anyone. I said, he will for me, because it's love that causes him to listen to me, because I love him. I don't want to be an authority over him. I've been trying to tell you guys, if you're going to reach these people, you got to love them. And if they know you don't love them, they are not going to shut down as young people. You will not reach them. And of course, his little best friend was with him, and his little best friend knew his mother, and she told me when they were out of the room, I raised him too. And then her other son, Carl, from Alabama, and I spoke to him because I met him when he was here about a year ago, and he's going to college in Alabama. And she gave me the whole rundown. And it just gave me a peace of mind, a peace of mind. Because, you know, you think negative about parents and about children, but if you don't know what those people have gone through, then you're wrong for judging them. Especially if you call yourself a godly person. And all these people are acquainted with, in some way, Christianity and affirm Jehovah as their God. All of them. And that's why I was interrupted on my webcast and I can barely get one done. Got another person coming down and said that he got to talk to me too. So I'm going to close it off right now. And I want you to think about doing those things, all right? Those three things that we spoke about. What are those three things? Come on, you know what it's all about. You know what it's all about. You know what you got to do. I am the kind of a person that is what? What is God saying? Are you walking in integrity? Are you that kind of a person? Walks with integrity, works righteousness in his life, and speaks the truth in his heart. And today, I have joy in my heart that surpasseth all understanding about one young man that's about 25 years old now. I have so much more joy about him. And I thank God for that. Hey, y'all take care, because as you hear, I got another call coming in right now. God bless.